So the title of my message this morning is Building Together. When we look at Exodus 25, we see that God spoke to Moses about constructing a sanctuary for him so that he could live among them. We see in Exodus 35 about building the tabernacle that Moses tells the Israelite community that this is what the Lord has commanded. He takes up the offering and says, let everyone whose heart is willing to bring an offering for this to the Lord. And then Moses explains to the people that the Lord has appointed by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he explains that he's filled him with God's spirit, with wisdom, understanding and ability in every kind of craft to design artistic works in gold, silver and bronze. And he goes on to say that Bezalel, Oholiab and all the skilled people are to work based on everything that the Lord has commanded. And chapter 36, 4 says, then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work for the sanctuary came one by one for the work they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than is needed for the construction of the work the Lord commanded to be done. After Moses gave an order, they sent a proclamation through the camp, let no man or woman make anything else as an offer for the sanctuary. So the people stopped. The materials were sufficient for them to do all the work. There was more than enough. So we read that the tabernacle is being built, and you may say, well, why on earth do we have to read all these details about construction work in the Bible? Have you ever read these sort of long lists of things and thought, what on earth is this all about? What can I learn from this? But I think there's some things that we can really learn from these chapters, and I'd like to highlight some specific points on the topic of building together. And the first point that I'd like to make is that the craftsman's skills and Bezalel's expertise were focused on building the house of God. And I want to encourage us, as Christians, as the body of believers, that our skills and expertise should be focused on building the house of God. That actually we all have something to contribute to help to extend the kingdom. Bezalel's name, it meant in the shadow or protection of God, which is a lovely meaning, isn't it? And we know that he was really good at what he did, and he could train others to be good too. He used his gifts and his talents to build the tabernacle. He poured out his skills into that. He used who he was and what he had to build what God had instructed them to build. And the other craftsmen gave their skills too. Their talents are focused on it. It's their main project, their main thing. The Lord's instructed them to do this, and they're going to get on with the job and do it with everything that they have. And I want to remind us this morning that God has called us to build together. Whatever our skills, gifts, or abilities may be, we are all called to build the house of the Lord. And you might think, well, what do you mean by the house of the Lord? But by that, I mean that God asks us all to serve the church and to be a part of growing it. So what are we building together? We're building what God has instructed us to build now, his church, to extend his kingdom. And we've also been given some clear instructions from the Bible on how he wants us to do that. So as we build together, which we're all called to do, those who are willing, the focus of our skills, our talents, our gifts, our money is on building the house of God. We're all called to help grow the church, to help build the community of believers. God has called us to use our skills, our talents, our money and our time to extend his kingdom, to build this community of hope and this community in which God's presence is evident, where we have a relationship with him and worship him. You might have heard that saying that we often say in church, we're all called to do the work of an evangelist, or we're all called to share the gospel. This is something that every one of us can get involved with. Every one of us is called to do, to proclaim the gospel, to spread the good news together. And we all have very different skills and talents. We can all give to the church in different ways. We can all give our time into it and invest into it in different ways. I recently spoke on the widow's offering, where she gave what she had, all that it was that she had. And, you know, let us give what it is that we have into extending the kingdom. So I want to ask us, what is it that we're good at, and what are we doing with it? Are we investing it into the kingdom? Are we investing our talents into the church, into the kingdom? Now, we've all got jobs, haven't we? We might all have to work Monday to Friday or whatever hours we're working in our jobs to earn a living. But I want to encourage us, what are we doing outside of that? Are we using what we have to help to build the church, and using what we have to help tell people about Jesus as well? So maybe you've got a specific gift. Maybe you're great at hospitality. You know, is there a way that you can use that to help in church? You know, people often say to me, and this was very funny yesterday, I was at the hairdressers and somebody said to me, it's not a place that I normally go to. And the person said to me, and some of you will laugh, they said, do you know what I think you really need to do, Libby? And I said, I'm not sure, what do you think? And they said, well, I really think you should go on X Factor, because I really think that it would, I think it'd be good for you, Libby, you know. And I thought, oh no, this person doesn't know me at all. And I was holding back, telling them the massive essay. And I won't go into all of that now, but you know, I just felt a sense of joy within me that, you know, my talents, the reason why I sing is for Jesus. That's who I am, that's what I'm about. And I'm not going to just say from the pulpit, it's wrong to go on X Factor, that's not what I'm saying. But I am full of joy and hope, because I know that God can use what I have to help extend the kingdom, just like he can use what you have to help extend the kingdom and to build the church. And I want to encourage you not to worry about those other things, but to remember that our primary purpose is to extend the kingdom, to build the house of God. And maybe you're not a great singer, maybe you're not a great guitarist like JT, or reader, or coffee maker like Bill, but maybe there's something else that you can do. Maybe you are a great smiler, and you want to smile at people on the door. You know, maybe you're just great at putting people at ease. You know, there's something that each one of us can do. Maybe you're great at media, and you love to do that. Maybe you could get involved in helping with the events that we do, like halves, the ladies' nights, and all our upcoming Christmas events. Maybe there's something that you're good at, and that you think, you know, hey, I'd really like to do that. I'd really like to do something with this. Come chat with me, or chat with Pastor Steve, and we can see how we can work together to extend the kingdom. And you might think, well, hey, you know, I've had a bad experience of church. I'll go on a Sunday, but I don't really want to get too involved, because last time I did that, I got hurt. Or, you know, I've seen some things go wrong, or, oh, it's really tough working with this group. I don't really like that person. I don't really get on with them. They get on my nerves a lot. But, you know, God asks us to look beyond those things and to choose to serve him. So I want to challenge us as well. Are we willing to serve the church? Are we willing to extend the kingdom, whether we're getting paid for it or not, whether it's a, you know, whether we have a title or not? Are we willing just to say, here I am, Lord, use me? You know, I may not get anything returned. I may not even see the results of what I do. I may not even see the results of how somebody's touched or blessed from this conversation or my giving to them, but use me, Lord. And I just want to encourage us just to have that attitude towards serving God and building his kingdom. So the second point that I would like to make is that the craftsmen work together as a team. And as Christians building the house of God, we must work together as a team to produce the best results. How many of you know that in these dark days we need to work together? We're all one family. We're stronger together. The people gave their gifts to build, whether it was through making something physically or financially or with their skills and talents. Everyone had a role to play. Each one of us has a role to play in this team. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about us being one body with many parts. Verses 27 to 31 of 1 Corinthians 12. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organisers, those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic, undimensional part. It's not all apostle, not all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts. So we all have a role to play, and there can be really different things. You know, I love this church because some of us are so, we're very different, aren't we, in what we do, in our interests, in the things that we can give and the things that we can contribute. And when we work together, we're stronger together. Our strength is in our togetherness. And I love how inclusive the church is. There is no community more inclusive than the church. Anybody can walk through these doors and get to know Jesus and be a part of our family. So we know that not one of us is better than the other, and sometimes it's very tempting, isn't it, to want to compete for roles up at the front, or for the titles, or for the things that we think are cool, like being the singer at the front, or you know, being the cool media guy, or whatever it may be. But I want to encourage us to be a people who are willing to do whatever is required to build the church, whether it be, you know, that we just, you know, need to clean the toilets because there's no one else to clean the toilets. And I want to share with you just some stories about how great things can come out of this. So, for example, when we first planted this church, and there's just a small group of us in Foxwood, I remember my auntie looking at me because we'd said, you know, well, who's going to lead worship and who's going to sing and all this kind of thing. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't have a burning desire to be the keyboard player and the singer leading everybody in worship. But I just said, hey, okay, then I'll do it, because I'm just the one who can play the keyboard. And, you know, I've been so blessed through that, because I've been really able to grow through that. And, you know, similarly, Paul doing the sound. You know, Paul just started the sound just because we needed somebody to do it. And now he's got so much better at it. Ariel started doing kids' church. You know, now I'm so proud of her. She's such a wonderful teacher with such a gift with children, and has a real gift of teaching. And, you know, when we give, God actually blesses us so much when we give to him. And, you know, we have such joy and peace that comes from him as we serve him and help to extend the kingdom. Interestingly, what I'd like to point out as well is that we don't read of any arguments between the craftsmen in these chapters. There's no arguments about their design or any creative disputes. We don't see any of them challenging the Lord's instructions or suggesting how they feel things should be. Sometimes we might have creative differences. We might have different opinions. But I just want to encourage us this morning not to allow those to destroy us. Let's not destroy the bit of building that we're doing by disputes with each other, by fighting. Let's stay focused on the main instructions that we have from the Lord. You know, perhaps we can cause delays in the building process when we fight with each other. Let's remember that we're called to love and forgive one another. Let's not fight and prevent ourselves from extending the kingdom as God has intended and instructed us, and instructed for us to do. Hate, fighting, unforgiveness, bickering, it holds us back. Even just gossiping about each other. Like Jesus says, we must love one another. We don't read about any of them saying, well, hey, I think it would be better if we actually did it this way. When it comes to God's instructions, when God asks us to do something, let's just accept his instruction and what he's commanded for us to do. And it might be a little bit more subtle than that. It might not be that we just want to say, hey, I think it'd be better this way. It might just be that you can't see quite how it's going to work. Maybe you're like, Lord, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. I'm not really sure how this is going to fit together. And we might allow doubt to creep in. You might think, I can't really understand, or I don't fully understand these instructions. You might think, I'd rather do things differently, or things will work better if I do them slightly differently to this way that I know God has really said, or to this way that the Bible teaches us. I just want to encourage you to trust God's instructions. Let's trust his instructions and get on with the job that he has called us to do. Also, what I think is quite interesting in these chapters is that we don't hear of any arguments between them about which roles they should have in the construction process. They don't fight over who should be doing what. They just get on with the job exactly as they had been instructed to do by God through Moses. There's so much we can learn about working together and building together in the Bible. Let's not argue about our titles, our specific roles. Let's just do whatever it is that we can, whenever we can, to serve God and to extend his kingdom. Let's not waste time arguing. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep focused on the primary instructions that we have. And when we all invest our talents together, beautiful things can come out of it. I don't think you have to be a Christian to see that when people work together to produce something, you know, you have an amazing masterpiece. You might think, well, I don't really see what difference I can make. I'm not really special enough to make that much of a difference or be a part of this. But you've been chosen by God. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he has made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You and I were called to build together. This is what we're here for. This is what we're chosen for. And it's about what we can achieve together. The craftsmen's names were not of particular importance. You know, interestingly, we don't see a long list of names, do we, about who did what and how much time they spent on it. Their names were not of particular importance, but what they achieved together was. This isn't about how good Libby Redmond can sing. This isn't about how good Pastor Steve can preach. This isn't about how well JT can play. It isn't about how wise Pauline is. All these things, it's about us all together, working together, bringing everything together to advance the kingdom of God. This is about how many souls we can see saved. This is about how many people we can see healed, knowing the hope of Jesus. This is about how much of a difference we can make in this city by shining the light of Jesus. This is about us making his name known. Sometimes we might feel unappreciated. Let's still get on with it. Sometimes we might not feel like we've got enough encouragement. Let's still get on with it. People may not know our names in the future, and we may never receive special recognition for what we do. But the things we achieve together for God's kingdom will last forever. And God sees the things that we do anyway. You know, I just wanted to encourage you this morning. If you are feeling a little bit unappreciated, unvalued, or discouraged, just remember that it is God who is your source. That it's him who, you know, turn to him. When you're feeling discouraged, you know, you think, well, people just don't back me up enough. People don't encourage me enough. Nobody says thank you. I'm a bit fed up because nobody thanks me enough. I just want to encourage you, keep going. Because you're working for Jesus. You're working to extend the kingdom. The next point that I'd like to make is that the craftsmen obeyed the commands of the Lord without neglecting the specifics. May we, as a people, may we as the Ark Church, as the body of believers, may we obey the Lord without neglecting the specific instructions he's given us. See, we don't read about them thinking, oh, well, we'll just leave this bit, or we'll do this bit slightly differently, or we've got a little bit tired now, so we'll just forget about those instructions, or that bit doesn't really matter, or that bit we'll do a little bit differently. They paid attention to the instructions and did not neglect any detail. They took God's instructions seriously and followed them to the letter. They followed his specific instructions. And I want to ask us, church, will we do that also? We have some specific instructions that the Bible gives us on how we conduct ourselves, what our lifestyle is to be like. But also, sometimes the Holy Spirit can speak to us quite specifically about things. I remember once, and I've shared the story before, of when I was so excited because I could finally share one of those testimonies about getting the exact amount of money that I needed. Because somebody at church had given me the exact amount of money that I'd needed to complete one of my projects. And I often wonder, what if they'd have just ignored, you know, the Holy Spirit's leading that said, oh, I want you to give Libby this certain amount. Or what if they thought, oh, well, I'll just make it slightly different because it seems better. Oh, I'm not really so sure. You know, I'll just do it a little bit differently. Or I'll wait another week. But they listened to what the Holy Spirit said. And because of that, you know, I was really blessed. And I want to encourage you as well. Let's really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Even in our daily conversations, in our workplaces with people, you know, the Holy Spirit can make it known to us if somebody's having a difficult time. Maybe, you know, we might be given a specific word of knowledge for them that we can share with them. You know, let's really be listening to the Holy Spirit and follow the instructions that we're given really specifically. You know, I love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian and how each step of the way, Philip is given instructions bit by bit. You know, and the angel says, get up and go. And Philip just, he goes up and he gets up and he goes and he doesn't know quite what's going to happen. He doesn't know exactly what his mission is going to be, but he just goes for it and he just does it. And the Lord guides him each step of the way. And I just want to encourage us, church, you know, let's go for it. You know, Jesus has said to us to go, to proclaim the gospel. Let's go, let's share the good news that we have. Let's not anything hold us back from giving who we are to that and being fully dedicated to building together. You know, I love how God doesn't force the people to give. There's nothing forceful about it at all. He just says, whoever is willing. And you know, the Lord just says to us this morning, whoever is willing. He doesn't force us, you know, to serve him. He doesn't force us to come to church every Sunday. You know, that has nothing to do with who we are as such. But what I'm trying to encourage you, church, is that, you know, when we're willing to give to God, he can use us in great ways. He can use us in great ways. You know, I'm so excited about our church plant. And I'm really excited about building this community further, aren't you? I'm really excited about the things that we've got planned for next year. And, you know, I want to see this place full, not so that we have high numbers, but because I want people to know Jesus, you know, or even in other churches or wherever they may grow. I just want to see people know Jesus. Do you too? Yeah? Yeah. And together we can make that happen. The Holy Spirit helps us in all of our conversations. Again, so the Holy Spirit might just say, go up and pray with that person. Offer to pray with that person. You might remember my mum shared a story about when she was chatting with somebody recently and she was inspired by somebody else who prays for people and just felt a prompting to, you know, to speak with them and offer to pray with them. You know, God can use you in a great way, and I just really want to remind you of that this morning. So are we willing to serve the Lord? What will we choose to focus our skills on? Will we give what we have for the church to carry out his instructions? If you feel like you don't have a purpose this morning, let me remind you that our purpose is to build the church. And have a look at 1 Peter 2 if you're not sure about that. I went into a room recently and somebody was talking to me and was very stressed out about what their purpose was and, you know, what their specific gifting was and how they should use it exactly. And, you know, I want to encourage you this morning that if you're not sure about who you are or what it is that you can do in life, then you can build the church, you can extend the kingdom, you can bring people to know Jesus, because we're all called to do that. You know, some of us might be better in conversation than others, but we can still help people to know God's love. We have hope to share, don't we? Why? We have Jesus, and I want to share him. Come on now, people, it's time to spread the word. I just had to sing. Somebody told me to sing while I'm preaching recently. So yeah, come on now, people, it's time to spread the word. Why? Because God is so good. We have hope to share. We have good news. And I want to encourage us, are we going to share it this week? You know, let's keep inviting people to church. Let's keep offering to pray with them. Let's keep talking to them about Jesus. Let's keep showing them compassion. Matthew 28, 16 to 20, this is the Message translation. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Maybe this morning you're sort of on the edge and you're thinking, I'm not really sure if I really want to be a part of this. I'm not really sure that I want to give myself totally. It might cost me a little bit too much. It might make me look a bit more wrinkly. It might cost me a little bit too much financially. It might cost, you know, too much of my larynx, of my voice. It might cost me all these things. You know, I want to encourage you to be willing to give yourself totally. This is what we live for, the extension of the kingdom, not for what is seen, but what is unseen. And it's not easy. Was it easy for Paul? You know, he suffered so much at times, didn't he? We read about all these stories and the shipwrecks, the things that he faced. And sometimes it might not be easy for us on this mission. As we build together, we face challenges. The enemy will throw all kinds of things our way. We'll come under attack. But you know, we have the armour of God. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And I just want to challenge us, because we know that we live in dark days. We know that there are people dying for their faith. We look at what's happening in the world, and we look at, you know, IS and all these things. And sometimes, I was recently in a conversation with someone, and we were just saying, you know, in 10 years' time, what is the world going to be like? And there was all this darkness. But I was so pleased that I was able to share a little bit of hope with them, because we have hope. Amen? But, you know, I want to encourage you, church, just to remember that we may live in dark times, but we have a hope that is greater. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We have the armour of God, which we can clothe ourselves in as we build his house together. So, are we willing to focus our skills on building the house of the Lord? Are we willing to learn new skills from those who can teach us in order to help our church families? Maybe there's somebody that we can learn from, somebody that can help us in a certain area that we feel we'd like to get involved with in the church, in spreading the gospel. Are we getting on with the job? Are we carrying out what God's asked us to do? Or are we allowing our feelings to prevent us from working effectively? Have we allowed anger to take over? Have we allowed bitterness to take over? Is there something that's actually stopping us from effectively helping to build the church together? Maybe there's an issue that we have against someone in our hearts that we need to just pray, that God will help us to deal with. Are we willing to fully obey God's word and not to neglect any part of it? Let's pray. Lord, help us to build together according to your instructions. Help us to work together as a team and to remember that it's all about you and your kingdom and your name. Help us, Lord, not to neglect any part of your word. Help us, Lord God, to hear from you, to know what you are saying, and to do it, despite any challenges, despite any discouragement, despite anything that the enemy may throw at us. May we continue to build together. Amen.